Hey, Cannonball. I like your statement. When life takes a cheap shot at you, you stay on your ground. Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins.
Homie Simpson, smiling politely. You know, my kids think you're the greatest. And thanks to your gloomy music, they finally stopped dreaming of a future I can't possibly provide.
Well, we try to make a difference. Hey, Homer. Looks like our next stop is your hometown, Springfield.
Is it true that we have to bring our own water?
We got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down. If it's black, send it back.
The hometown show's the big one, Homer.
Yeah, people who called you a weirdo in high school get to see what a successful freak you've become.
Hey, I wasn't a weirdo. I was in the audiovisual club.
Really? Me too. But I got kicked out because of my views on Vietnam. Also, I was stealing projectors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Simpsons Recap Show. Every week now, we're just going to play our favorite clips from The Simpsons.
It's talking Simps.
Simps for simpletons. No, this is Stand By Your Band. You know what you're listening to. I'm Tom Takkar, the Queen of Mean. I'm joined by Tommy McNamara, the King of Mean. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. trying to talk like Billy Corgan the whole time.
Oh, nice. Okay. I thought something was wrong.
I'm so excited. This is an episode, one of my favorite bands ever. I'm so excited. So let's introduce our guest right now.
The King of Zings.
The King of Zings.
J.P. McDade.
And he came here because he mostly wants to talk about Billy Corgan's book of poetry, Blinking with Fists.
That's what we'll be talking about for the next hour.
J.P. McDade.
Is that really what it's called?
Thank Blinking you. With Fists.
Oh, my God. I'm going to leave this right now. Podcast is over, but it's cool that we've got so much royalty in the same room right now. The King and Queen of Mean and the King of Zings.
That's true.
Finally,
two kings finally brought together, battle
unified the crowns. But there's some great line reads from the Smashing Pumpkins in that opening scene right there. They can tell
that's true.
They missed their calling. They're clearly like better voice actors than musicians,
especially yeah. Darcy
oh,
really kills
Darcy
that.
Nailed it.
She's good.
Is it true we have to bring our own water? It's such a funny line. I didn't remember.
That's why she got kicked out of the band, because Billy got jealous of that laugh she got. Like, no, we need another chick bassist.
True. So we should say right up top, because I'm sure you're listening. If you listen to this normally, you're like, well, I don't understand how you can say that Smashing Pumpkins needs to be defended. I tell you.
And this is from our elderly listener.
Yeah, back in my day, Smashing Pumpkins were respected.
Stop sending us telegrams, Hubert. We're going to do the bands we like.
We liked Nirvana in my day, and we liked the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, the old grunge man.
It all peaked with Puddle of Mud.
Anybody who banged Courtney Love, we...
You could buy a Soundgarden album for a nickel. This was before he hung himself, of course.
No. Hold for edit. but anyway, Billy Corgan turned into a freak, so now it's on the table,
so
baby.
Let's
just going to have fun.
And it's also Halloween themed. I'll take the heat for anyone who's mad, because I picked this band.
Yeah, he's kind of creepy. Like, pumpkins is in there. By the
pumpkins.
Way.
How about the world is a vampire, okay? Forget your costume. Wow. The whole freaking world is a
JP,
vampire.
JP, you said you were going to do your character Smashing S Pumpkins.
It's derivative of David Roberts. What's the other one?
What's that?
There was an SNL sketch that's almost the exact same thing as David S. Pumpkins.
Chance did, right? Didn't Chance
no,
just do one that
was Larry David.
Oh, yeah. It's
I'm
so
Kevin
funny.
Kevin Roberts, the coolest bitch in town. This is the SNL Recap Podcast.
Well, last week, I just realized something. Last week, we were talking about the Monster Mash and doing like a Pete Holmes crashing-style show called Mashing. We could do another one about Billy Corgan called Smashing.
Incredible. Oh, I thought you were going to say pumpkining.
Really?
No.
Spite on my rage, you can stay on my couch for a week.
Fucking...
And I don't even need to audition for the Comedy Cellar. They'll throw me up if a guy
Mrs. Hispanic.
Cool kids always blow the light.
There's an episode where he stays at Courtney Love's house right after her husband kills himself. Because that is what happened.
Yeah, baby.
So let's talk about the freak Billy Corgan stuff up top, and then we'll just, the back half will be
yeah,
more.
Let's not bury the lead. Let's get into, get into the wild Corgan shit.
Because we can talk about how much we, I think we all, I don't know, I love the band, so.
Oh, yeah, especially, I feel like the first three albums are just unbelievable.
I'm into some of it a lot, and then I'm not into some of it at all.
Okay.
Like, I was trying to listen to a lot of the later stuff today, and I could not get into it.
I was really into Melancholy, and that was kind of it for me. Like, I didn't get in, like, 1979 is, we'll get into that shit later.
Yeah.
But Billy Corgan, let's talk about
it,
baby.
Okay, so we're
going
to start with...
First of all, bald. What the fuck?
Yeah, gross.
I remember, like, not getting that and, like, thinking it was totally a choice. Because I would watch, like, the Today video when he has all that hair, and I'm like, we had all that hair. Why did he why did he go
Damn,
bald?
This guy was metal as hell.
Like, I thought that with Michael Jordan, too. I was like, oh, it's so weird they chose that. And I'm sure that they were both just degrees of
balding.
That
is funny that I bet
he's from
that,
Chicago, right?
Yeah.
I bet that's the one thing, like, Michael Jordan couldn't even beat that. He's probably seething, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's his whole Hall of Fame speech is just about male pattern baldness.
And I invited my old barber to my Hall of Fame.
He saved a seat for a toupee that's just sitting there. So it can.
He must have hated Pippin's hair.
Oh, I'm sure he really resented that. Well, that's
and
why he punched Steve Kerr or whatever. I don't know.
Slapped him, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So I really quickly, I was reading about Corgan's early life, and in his Wikipedia, there's something that I found odd where it says Corgan, who grew up much faster than his fellow students, already weird.
He was like Usain Bolt.
But of maturity. It says was a strong athlete in elementary school. In addition to being a member of his Marquardt, is that how you say that? You're from the same area as him, right?
Wait, Marquardt?
Marquardt? Marquardt?
I don't know.
M-A-R-Q-U-A-R-T. In addition to being a member of his middle school baseball team, he collected baseball cards and listened to every Chicago Cubs game. However, by the time he attended Glenbard North High School in Carroll Stream, Illinois, he had become an only average athlete.
That is not
that
noteworthy.
Feels like he put this all in here.
That's a long
what
way to
a
go.
What a weird... Yeah, he
just
was...
say he got pubed up early.
Like, a kid who's good in elementary school, especially, like, a guy who looks like Billy Corgan, like, you're like, fuck off. Like, nobody cares.
He is very tall, and that's something I didn't realize till later
He
in
is?
Life. Yeah, he's a tall guy.
How tall are we talking? 5'10"? What's tall?
That's crazy. If you're good at sports in elementary school, you're not a good athlete. You're just the big kid.
It's just you're the first one who got the dexterity to hit a fastball. Yeah. Like,
he's 6'3".
Damn, I did
tall,
not know that. That's crazy.
That's proper big. I'll allow it.
What are you?
6'7".
Damn.
Said that's so British.
He's proper big, isn't he? He's absolute unit.
Well, you know, Smashing Pumpkins. I remember being really disappointed
that
when I found
British.
Out that is like a euphemism. It's like what British people call nice boobs.
Is that?
It's like Pearl Jam.
Well, Pearl Jam is calm. Yeah.
Smash.
Oh my God.
Wait, what is
called Smashing
Jam?
Pumpkins,
it's
isn't it?
A euphemism for semen.
Ugh.
Think of like Pearl Jam.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Pearl
the 90s,
Jam.
The 90s were depraved, man.
Pearl Jam.
It was like
for
late
shame.
80s, sorry.
And I also, I don't know if this one's true, but there was at least a rumor. I was well into the 90s grunge scene. I was that Stone Temple Pilots, that STP was also meant to be an acronym for Shirley Temple's Pussy.
That is not where I thought STP was going as an acronym.
Yeah,
but of course, it was Shirley Temple's Pussy, yeah. The old STP.
And Backstreet Boys is about abortion.
Bye.
I'm dumb as hell.
It's an NSYNC song.
NSYNC, but it doesn't matter. Quick,
yeah. Tearing up my heart. I mean, that's kind of how it was.
Oh, there we go.
Tearing
he had more
up
time.
My baby.
That was fucked up.
But so, I'm so dumb. I didn't even realize until recently that it's the Smashing Pumpkins. For a long time, I thought it was just Smashing Pumpkins.
Well, I think
but
that's
I feel
fine.
Like it's a better name.
Yeah. I always get that stuff confused.
And it's also like they usually don't include the when it's like in its alphabetical stuff, like on your Apple, like on your iTunes or whatever.
And Justin Timberlake came up to him and he said, drop the it's cleaner.
Timberlake had his hands and everything back then.
Including Jessica Biel.
Lou Pearlman actually created the Smashing Pumpkins.
He picked the ugliest people he could find.
He goes, I want to do something a little different with these boys and girls.
And he rode over a fucked up Illinois State Fair in his blimp, and he's like, who are they? And he signed them right away.
Hey, who's that over there playing Marquard?
That guy looks...
I saw this dude playing second base for Marquard. He must have been 11 years old, and he had it, baby.
Okay, I wanted, while I still have the aux cord, we have to talk about Billy Jones or Billy Corgan going on Alex Jones. Were you aware of this?
I've heard about it. I will not bring myself to click on the video.
See,
but yeah,
I saw it because I watch everything Alex Jones. But I didn't know that was Billy Corgan. I just thought when that was a smart guy.
When I recommended Smashing Pumpkins, you're like, oh, from Alex Jones?
No, you watched it. I actually haven't seen it yet.
I watched 26 minutes of it. On full volume at my computer at work. While both
Which is
my
quite an exit strategy.
I just quit my job. And also, my boss came in from lunch, because there was no one else in the office. My boss came in from lunch, and it's just Alex Jones, like, oh, yeah, end of the media. And I was just like trying to get down, hoping he didn't notice.
Oh, boy.
Most of it is very boring in a way that I wasn't.
Interesting.
Expecting.
I would never think that a second of that stuff would be boring.
Well, they're very much on the same wavelength,
now,
which I think is bad.
Question, is this from the 2012 one or
this
the more recent
one? He went
one?
On 2016. I only
yes,
watched
I couldn't find the footage of that one, but it looked even crazier, to be honest.
Well, the problem is that these liberal people at YouTube have taken off the actual footage, so this is like a rip of it.
It's fucked up.
So I found a couple parts I wanted to play in the 26 minutes, and it just made me feel insane the whole time. But then they keep talking about how they were at dinner the night before, and it's like, oh, they like hung
Where
out
do they
too.
Eat?
That's a great question.
Where do those two guys eat?
Bubba Gums.
There was that video of Alex Jones getting like yelled at and booed at a restaurant in Austin a few months
ago.
Yeah,
I remember that. And then he was like, I can't even go in public. And it's like, well,
I can't even be an asshole all the time without consequences. Bullshit.
What about freedom of speech?
Try to eat some gay frogs at a French restaurant. Turn them gay.
I said, give me the gay frog legs.
Okay, so I'm going to play two quick clips. I'm sure there's better stuff in the back half, but I just couldn't bear to watch anymore.
You were very brave to make it that
far. Okay.
Because I want it.
Yeah, there's an erosion of respect for the family, an erosion for the formality of life, which I never saw as a bad thing. And I mean, like, people will say, oh, what do you watch on TV? I said, I don't watch anything except a few sports, because I can't stand to watch the American male be... whatever they've turned the American Mail to.
Castrated.
Damn.
That's a good word for it. I can't stand it. I mean, I just can't watch that anymore.
Well, they put that image out. I mean, that's in the documents on purpose. And I don't cover that enough, but I think that's one of the hearts of their system, is to turn women, you know, they claimed it was feminism, but now it's total objects.
Don't you think it's weird, just to bring up a current event, all of a sudden, you know, and I'm certainly no fan of Rush Limbaugh, but again, I live in a society that's supposed to respect free speech. Okay, so that's his free speech, right? All of a sudden, there's articles, Gloria Steinem, fire Limbaugh. You know, now I heard you once talk about her, and I did the research, and there's all that stuff about her and the CIA and dating Kissinger, and you're like...
Not trying to empower women, but get them as taxpayers and take their kids. It's cold-blooded.
I don't have that. I mean, I don't do the research like you do, so I don't know that. But I'm saying is, it's funny to me how these people pop up in the narrative all of a sudden when there's an agenda.
So I agree.
Of course.
Who wouldn't? Very much spoken like a man who names his band after tits, updates his Wikipedia page to include his elementary school baseball stats. And like
he says, I don't do the research like you do.
Like, yeah, if there's a bunch of research that he's done. Like he's like got glasses on.
At the library.
Punched over a microfiche at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That would be so funny if every day Alex Jones just went to the library and like studied all day. I got a show to do, people.
Okay, I have one more clip I want to play.
What do you mean, shush?
He's quietly growling to himself as he reads Wikipedia pages.
Okay, I hope this will be a good point.
For expressing any particular opinion, you know, outside of my world, is if I question in any way the global warming, climate change narrative. That is the most virulent attacks that I've seen from people if I question that. It is like, I mean, you'd think I was skinning babies alive. You know, how dare you attack the earth? And all I'm saying is these are very serious issues.
You would think I was worthy of open debate.
If you do research, I do my own research. You're not my only informational source. I'll go on and I'll seek climate figures. And this one scientist says this and this other. So you think, well, okay, it's not a settled issue, right? But in this guy's mind, it's a settled issue. And I'm against the planet Earth because I dared question carbon taxes or something, you know.
I should point out he is wearing the silliest floppy hat.
Yeah, it's like a goth bucket hat.
And before we get off Alex Jones, I'm going to do a little game of Billy Cork and Alex Jones roulette. I'm going to go to a random moment in the back half to see if we get some gold. And here we go.
It's like Russian roulette, but you lose both ways.
Just
thank you. And on the other hand, you have a growing corporate representation of music, which most people find alienating. If you're a real music fan,
I can't listen to any of it. I mean, all the new stuff is just it's bizarre.
I know
it's bizarre the way technology has affected what pop music has become. I'm not saying it's all bad, but it's hard when I came from a world which
see they're boring.
Yeah,
that's
they
the
are.
Problem.
He's like, I can't listen to it. Guitars turned gay once Prince danced with it.
I wish that he just. Oh wait, let me find one more thing before I give up the axe. I wish that he started listing things he doesn't like.
I don't like music. I don't like outside.
I can't like watch TV.
Oh, Billy Corgan saying, people ask me what TV I watch. I don't watch any of it. This is, ugh.
That is truly like the stereotype of the douchiest thing to say. Like,
yeah. I don't First of all, have no one asks you.
I like that he didn't say, I don't have a TV. I have it. I just look at the black screen. Truly a black mirror.
I watch a test pattern.
What? I'm going to get in trouble for wearing blackface for staring at my black screens. You can't. That's what in the second one that he's in, he goes on a big rant about how, like, if you say the N-word, he's looking. It says, I read a description of the interview, which is even more insane to do, but it said he was looking at a picture of Paula Deen and Michael Richards. Why? Was it on a screen? It doesn't
Where did
explain.
They meet? Is that a Mount Rushmore somebody's building? They're the first two faces on it.
And Tom Takar is the third. So this is something I just wanted to play while I still had the ice court. This is a famous Billy Corgan singing the seventh inning stretch at a Cubs game. It's true.
Yeah.
A LCS 2002.
That
sounds like, I used to always do that. Let's get some runs.
That sounds like he's making fun of the Cubs. It's one.
I'll sing your little song.
He does feel kind of like if the Joker became a musician.
All I have are negative songs.
Alex Jones, you just brought me here to make fun of me.
No spoilers, but yeah.
Before we get too deep into this little one, I also found another thing about Corgan, and this might be just a music industry thing that I thought was funny, but it's about how he opted out of going to college and instead decided to pursue music out of high school because he was in a bunch of bands or whatever. Not finding the Chicago music scene to his liking, he moved from Chicago. Do you guys know where?
To
Milwaukee?
To St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yes.
In 1985 with his first major band, The Marked.
Well, that's where CBGB's was, right? I don't know music
that's
history.
That's the Hollywood, Florida of Florida.
The place gave me the heebie-jeebies.
God damn it.
The mark so named for the conspicuous birthmarks of both Corgan and drummer Ron Rosing. They named their band after their birthmarks? That sucks. Not finding success in St. Petersburg, the band dissolved and Corgan moved back to Chicago to live with his father.
A true shocker. Not finding success in St. Petersburg.
The record Sold biz St. wasn't Pete's. Hovering around St. Petersburg, Florida.
One time, I had a friend in college who convinced us like we should go. It's the only spring break trip I've ever gone on. This guy was like, we got to go. My grandpa has this sick-ass place in St. Pete's. That we'll have a great like Florida spring break. We go there. It is all old people. The oldest people of all time. The beach is cold. There's no spring breakers there. That's awesome. It was so brutal.
I love the expectation that it's like, oh yeah, she's an old lady, but she hangs out with like young, cool people. It's gonna be hot chicks.
Yeah,
as far
we
as
did
can
not
see.
Look into it at all. We were just like, of course that'll be sick. Florida, that's a great place.
It's a party state.
She's like, do you guys listen to Alice in Chains?
do you kids want some sex and candy?
That's a trick-or-treaters. Oh, man. Wait, there was one other thing. Because he was on a bunch of interviews and stuff. He went on Stern once, and he was talking about how he had a paranormal experience.
Of course.
And I'm going to read this to you.
He is a ghost, but yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he looked in a damn mirror.
He's above all odds. He succeeded as a ghost.
Okay. So this is his quote directly on his paranormal experience. Let's just say I was with somebody once and I saw a transformation that I can't explain. I was not on drugs. I was totally sober. Imagine you're doing something and suddenly you turn around and there's somebody else standing there. It's hard to explain without going into detail. I'd rather not go into details. That's the quote. And then the next sentence was, he added that the person acknowledged they were a shapeshifter.
Incredible. It was one of those reversible basketball pennies. And he was baffled by the concept. Some guy just changed real quick.
Acknowledged.
Oh, he's a changeling.
The word acknowledged isn't... Beautiful. Are you a changeling? Sure. That's like how if you ask a cop if they're a cop, they have to say yes.
I think he just went to Howard Stern and he saw Beetlejuice and he's like, oh my God, I've seen something truly supernatural.
All right, before we get too deep in, let's go to a regular segment on the show. They Went to Jared, which is where we go to our friend and foe of the podcast, Jared Thompson, the owner of the beautiful Comedy Attic in gorgeous Bloomington, Indiana.
St. Petersburg of Indiana.
Where we will be doing a live podcast.
Yeah.
The day after Thanksgiving. November that is 29th. Black Friday, baby. November 29th. Come out. We're also doing a stand-up show the next night. It's going to be a great time. Live podcast. Jared is going to be our special guest co-host, judge or whatever. It's going to be very fun. We're going to have our friends from Chicago come through and some great
Billy Corgan.
Yes.
I would love that.
Oh, let's ask him. Okay. I bet Mellencamp will do it. He's always looking for something to fucking do.
Mellencamp and the Infinite Sadness. You got them both.
Oh, my God. Incredible. Yeah. All right, let's hear Jared's thoughts on the Smashing Pumpkins.
What's up, y'all? This week's They Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Smashing Pumpkins. This is actually really interesting to me because they are not a universally hated band, but people who don't like them really do hate them. So to me, this is a sweet spot for this podcast. For me personally, I'm like a lot of people where I'm slightly indifferent to the Smashing Pumpkins, and then when they're very good, they're great. And oddly, someone referenced Pavement on the Facebook comments, and I feel a very similar way to Pavement in that I'm one of the few people you will ever meet who loves Adore as my favorite Smashing Pumpkins album. Wow. And part of why I would even say that is because, of course, there are better songs on other albums, and their best moments are certainly not on Adore. And I feel the same way about Pavement. I thought that Pavement's last record was their best album, and Spit on a Stranger is maybe my favorite song of theirs. But most people would, of course, pick a different album. But for me, Adore is their best full piece of art. And there are so many problems on every other Smashing Pumpkins album that doesn't seem to be there on Adore. Obviously, a double album is tough, especially when half of the songs are not very good. It's just too long. Siamese Dream is good but not great. It has its fantastic moments. 1979 is one of the best songs ever. Tonight Tonight is great. So when they're very good, they're fantastic. And I know there's a lot of problems with Billy Corgan or whatever. But so I'm going to be really interested to hear this. It's a great idea. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. What do you think, JP?
Would not have expected Adore to be anyone's favorite Smashing Pumpkins album.
Did you put, you didn't put any songs from that album on
I think
here,
I
right?
have one on there.
Is Ava Adore on there? We should listen to that if it's not, because I love that song.
It is, yeah. That's the first track on that album. But as I think it just depends on how
I
you listen
to
albums.
Your playlist, not
no,
just
no,
on the
I was not my playlist, though. It's not. Because he says, you're my whore, and I'm like, I'm out. we're going to
you're
a different
Christian
song.
Man.
All right. You said, what's the one?
Ava Adore.
That's the second track on this album,
yeah.
Ava Adore. Let's hear some of it.
I remember this video scaring me when I was young, because he looks like a vampire.
Honestly, this is part of what I didn't love about Smashing Pumpkins, is they did scare me
They're
a little bit.
Creepy.
And I don't love his voice all the time, but I love it sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only like it when he's singing Take Me Out to the Park.
Somebody was shazamming him.
So listen to those drums and those like synths or whatever that is.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun. I like that. I've never listened to this album all the way through.
I like it, too. You know what? I just want to bring up before we move past it that Pavement and Smashing Pumpkins had a feud.
Of course.
See, Smashing Pumpkins has a feud with so many bands because Billy Corgan talks so much shit.
Yes.
What is the Pavement feud?
So Pavement actually started it.
Oh.
Because in their song Range Life, which is a great song, they have a lyric in like the third
verse.
Well,
I hope Neil Young will remember.
I hope Billy Corgan will remember. The man with hair don't need him around anyhow. But the lyric is, out on tour with the Smashing Pumpkins, Nature Kids, and they don't have no function. I don't understand what they mean, and I could really give a fuck.
Wow.
So
that's beef.
They took a shot, and then Billy Corgan, I remember reading his response once, and it was something like, nobody ever falls in love to Pavement. It was kind of a cool line. He said, nobody ever falls in love to Pavement. Like, their music doesn't really mean anything to people, kind of thing. And I love Pavement. But I was thinking with Jared, it's so funny, because when Jared did the podcast a couple years ago at this point, I remember he asked me on the spot, like, what my favorite album of all time was. And I said, Siamese Dream by Smashing Pumpkins, and he just kind of, like, snarled at me. and that was
great.
So embarrassed. But
I was trying to figure out, this album came out in the beginning of the summer of 98, and I'm trying to figure out, like, why the albums leading up to it are great, and then everything after it is pretty much garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And I've determined that Billy Corgan saw the movie Blade, which came out in 1998, and he was like, I'm not vampire-y enough. And
that's
it rattled
so
his whole confidence, and he's like, he was never the same after that.
Because in that video, he's kind of wearing a bladey coat.
Oh,
like,
he's like, the reason I point out those drums, and it's like super industrial, like Trent Reznor-y kind of thing.
That's
and it's
so
like,
funny.
He was, I'm the vampire guy. And it's like, no, you're not. Wesley Snipes is, motherfucker. You're out. You're out of the vampire game.
The summer of 98, that was when I got my first real six string.
Is that right?
It was the summer of 98. Me and some guys from comedy started a podcast and we tried real hard. Got listed by AV Club. Jody got married. Who's Jody?
Jody Foster. She used to be the third host on this.
A lot of people don't know the lore.
We love her directing work on Money Monster.
Did you see Money Monster?
Of course not.
What if it was great? What if it was actually
very well
great?
Could have been great.
By the way, people, check out Parasite. It lives up to the hype.
It's the best.
Yeah, I just saw it. It was great.
It's so good.
Yeah.
My favorite movie of the year.
Let's listen to Perfect, which is also on that album, and a song that you put on your playlist.
Put on the playlist. And it's not like one of the seminal tracks that I listen to a lot of Smashing Pumpkins, but it's one I've like rediscovered lately that's just really good.
Sure. And the Seminoles are a college football team that Tommy supports all of the things that they've done.
He does the chant in between segments on this podcast.
Full sound.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I like lighter Pumpkins like that sometimes where they have like their lighter songs. Like that one you could hear in like a teen sex comedy or something.
Sure.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like, they're not all vampire anthems.
Tommy only likes pre-teen sex comedies.
You have to search real hard to find those.
I kept saying, Good Boys, where's Good Girls?
One for Good Girls, please.
That hasn't been made.
One more for Little Women, please.
Yeah, the guy disappointed at Little Women.
God damn it. When will the prequel for Little Women be coming? Littler Women?
Wait, why is it rated PG? That doesn't make...
Porn Girls?
Interesting little tidbit about this song. The video for this song was directed by husband and wife team Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Ferris, who had previously worked with the band on four other music videos, including 96's, this is a confusing thing, 96's 1979. Yep. Dayton and Ferris would later go on to direct the Oscar-nominated and critically praised 2006 black comedy film...
Black comedy.
Borat.
Give one more hint.
2006 is like the only comedy I can think.
Let me think. Greg Kinnear is in it.
Kinnear. Oh, Something's Gotta Give? Or
no.
As Good As It Gets?
Nope. No. This is
2006.
Yeah, 2006 is.
I have no idea.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, wow.
One of my favorite films. I love that movie.
Another movie I was disappointed in.
God damn, that worked out so well. all right.
I was obsessed with Smashing Pumpkins music videos as a young boy.
They were really good.
So me and two of my friends, Tim and Brian, we would literally just watch the music video DVD, like as if it were like a movie we love. We would watch every video. We did this like... It seemed like back-to-back days multiple times where we were just watching these videos, which is so weird to think about now.
That was a real like early 2000s teen move
totally.
To like just wear out a DVD.
A DVD of music videos, too.
Yeah,
it's just like, I can't imagine
watching. I don't think I ever did that with any. Did you have any that you did that with?
I remember watching the music video, the videos that followed Spider-Man on DVD.
Oh, yes,
with,
for
like,
sure.
Creed.
I was about to say, Chad Kroeger did Hero.
Which is a guy from...
In this that hero...
It was him and someone else.
Who else was in it? Yeah, you're right. I can't remember. I never remember.
The guy
from Papa Roach, maybe?
Yeah, so good.
Seether.
Yeah.
I think it was the guy from Seether.
I think you're right, yeah. Yeah, I guess that there were some... There were some that I would go to. There was a music video from POD that was part of the Little Nicky aftermath. You remember back then.
The aftermath of Little Nicky.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was POD, but there was a POD video that was really cool.
Youth of a Nation.
Yes, Youth of a Nation was really cool. That one was pretty sick. I've talked about it on the show a million times, but I used to just watch VH1 and MTV music videos late at night. Yeah. And when Stan was in the runnings, I was like obsessed with that video. Yeah. So good.
Try, the Smashing Pumpkins song. It's like a heroin story. It's like a heroin music video. And I remember thinking that was like the greatest piece of art I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
At the time, I was like, this is it.
I honestly think the video for 1979 might be my favorite music video. Yeah. It's so good.
Should we listen to that?
Let's go ahead and listen to it, because
I think I originally had it on my playlist, but I took it off because I wanted to like just spread out the albums a little bit more. I think I had like four from Melancholy and two from...
Unless you took it off.
Oh, yeah. No, that it's supposed to be on. Okay. I don't know.
Let's hear a little of 1979.
Says the love below.
Years
before.
Damn.
Speaker box.
It was just left foot. Stole it from
him. Yeah. I mean, that's just such a good song.
It's just the most satisfying melody to start off like those chords.
It's so good. This is true. I saw the movie Clerks 2 in theaters. I left the theater, and within a week I bought a guitar because I wanted to learn how to play that song.
Yeah. Wow.
And so I learned half of it. I was a busy man.
I think part of the reason why I like Smashing Pumpkins so much is like I think my first exposure to them was through my guitar teacher when I was in middle school.
Yeah. Because
there's a lot of songs by Smashing Pumpkins that are pretty easy like for a kid to learn on guitar. And like Zero is on the playlist. I think that was one of the first ones I learned that was like using the harmonics and shit.
Yeah.
It was like really cool. But yeah, this one for sure.
Such a great song. And yeah, the video with him in like he's like in a cab and he's like remembering and the kids like destroying that convenience store or whatever. It's so good.
That's it's a top 10 song all time for me.
It's way up there. It's a mood. It reminds me of like it's a full mood.
It's a yes.
It reminds me of like driving home from my friend's house. Yeah. Like in like the middle of the night, you know.
No, for totally. Sure.
Just drunk.
Yeah. Running over mailboxes.
Implicating.
And I drive into a convenience store and smash it all up. So it's like that man. Kid.
That homeless man.
I just watched I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Never
for the first time
face.
Yesterday.
Really?
It's an incredible bad movie.
Corgan chose 1979 for the title because it rhymed with many of the words he wanted to use for the lyrics.
That's
doesn't
a
that suck?
It's just Shakedown 1979. There's
cool kids never have the time.
No reason.
But he could have just been like, it makes sense because he was 12 in 1979.
Of course, yeah.
Because I think he was born in 67, is what I read earlier. It makes why tell people that?
That's when he bought a six string.
I bought my first real six string, is what he says, I believe, which is... What about the other ones?
I bought a bunch of fake six strings. Sold them on the sidewalk. Yeah.
It was spaghetti noodles.
Sold them to a sad blind kid.
Who was that? Who on Comedy Central like had a half hour or a premium blend back
in
the day?
It's tonight.
A shameless plug right in the middle. But they had...
Shameless was Louis C.K.
I thought that was
Boy, you're making me chewed up.
That's hilarious. But that's someone had a bit about... They do an impression of like Billy Corgan looking for his keys.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty, shout out to you if you're the comic listener to this. I don't know.
Hey, who you reveal are. Yourself.
Yeah. Where are my keys? They're right here in my hands.
Very good.
Oh, man.
It sucks that we can't. I wish I could do a bit like that.
I'd love to chew up some time.
Right? All right. This is Ariana Grande looking for her Uber.
This is Shaggy in a Me Too scandal.
It was on me.
Oh shit! That's
it was
good.
On me too. Saw me raping on the counter.
Oh no! Oh boy, we
I'm
just
canceled
gave
just for thinking
joke.
That. Yeah, that's... Thanks for the material.
So there was another thing I found on here. Was it that? That one kind of sucks.
We should talk about the album titled Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, which I thought was
yeah.
very
so
cool.
Have you guys heard this about Billy Corgan? It wasn't the first album off. It was like the third album they put out. But the legend I heard about Billy Corgan was that when he was like a kid working in a hardware store or something, he would tell the customers, like, one day I'm going to make an album. It's called Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, and it's going to be great.
Oh my God. The guy was like, get the fuck out of my store, you little
get this tall fucking shortstop out of my face.
Look, I appreciate your game. My kid plays ball with you.
I hate this big, strong 11-year-old. I hate his music.
Yeah, I liked the title when I was like, oh, that's so... I thought it was cool, for sure.
Yeah,
and also when you're... Like, I think I was probably 17 or 18 when I started to get into them, and I was, like, in an emo phase.
Yeah.
Like, I was really into Fall Out Boy, and, like, I was in the middle of, like, and, like,
bands
Biggie's
with long
suicide
titles
shit. Yeah, exactly, yes.
Panic at the Disco songs with long titles.
For
like
sure.
That. Yeah, Melancholy fits right in.
The most embarrassing story I can tell is when I was a young, aspiring child actor, I went to get headshots as a boy in a random man's apartment in Chicago.
Oh, boy.
And he said I could play any CD I wanted, and I played Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness while this grown man took pictures of me as like a 12-year-old, just Billy Corgan singing in the background.
You had great taste, but what a weird moment.
It's like, it's such a vivid memory for me. I'm just like...
Is that what got you booked on that Cedar Point commercial?
Yeah, they could tell how much I needed something. Good.
That's that point. Better put him on a roller coaster quick. He's gonna do something drastic.
That is so fucked up that I'm certain it's an image I'm going to see right before I die.
So it's one of those things that flashes in the Ring video. It's Tommy getting his picture taken in like grainy black and white.
Really quickly, I found what I was looking for. This was the last song written for Melancholy in 1979.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Corgan told the producer that he thought it had a lot of potential, so the producer gave Corgan 24 hours to make it work, or else
the
it wouldn't be on the album. Oh, yeah, that was it. Tick, tick, tick is 60 minutes. Yeah.
He's just choking James E. Hobb.
Yeah, he went home and recorded he wrote the lyrics that night, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. This just came into my head, but there's I don't even remember how I saw this, but there was a video of Ben Queller talking about how much he likes the Smashing Pumpkins, and I don't know why it stuck in my head forever. He just goes, the drums, Chamberlain, man.
Oh, God.
That's what a lot of people said. I think people in the Facebook thread said, like, Chamberlain is, like, one of the best
he's incredible.
Rock drummers
yeah.
ever. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I never really noticed that on any of the tracks, but I guess... That's part of like why he's so good, like the subtlety of the.
Well, if you listen to Gish, their first album, it's like a very drum heavy album.
Yeah,
and
Gish
it's like,
is great.
Let's listen to some more music here. There's nothing off of that album, right?
Gish now. Probably has some horrible sexual meaning.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about it.
Let's hear Zero.
Still bangs. And it was so cool
that
he got
sucks.
That in there. He was ahead of the curve.
Watch Apple sue me for that playing on the show.
Zero. We got to make sure we get to the emptiness is loneliness part.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get how you couldn't like his voice.
Emptiness is loneliness, and loneliness is cleanliness, and cleanliness is godliness, and God is empty, just like me.
There's your AIM away message, folks. Yeah.
No right 13-year-old there. Could think of anything cooler than
no
that.
No Catholic school boy could be more daring than to put that online. But Tom, when your phone rang, it reminds me in the Chappelle special, they do a fake iPhone ringtone.
Oh, they do?
That was fake?
Yeah. Well,
there's no way it could be real because he has those Yonder bags right on his fucking show.
And I didn't think of that.
Well, I think the whole thing is staged, but also if you listen to the ringtone that they play, it's not that.
Is that
it
right?
It sounds different.
And also, if you look closely, it's Neil Brennan holding the phone. He's still in that role for him.
But there's only one mic. It couldn't be Neil. love you. Love you, Neil.
Be great if that's how they caught him for a murder. Well, there are three mics at the scene.
My God, this is one of...
And if I know a guy who can murder with three mics... Sorry.
This is one of the most poignant murders I've ever seen. We got way off track.
Yes. That was Zero. What a song.
I love that song.
That was great.
Still slaps.
That bangs.
Yeah. It kind of blurs together with Bullet with Butterfly Wings a little bit. They're kind of in the same.
That's on here, too. Let's go ahead and listen to it.
Both great.
There's a vampire sent to drain secret destroyers. Hold you up to the flames. And why do I get for my pain? Betrayed desires and a piece of the game. Even though I know I suppose I'll show all my cool and cold like the Joe. Spite of my rage, I'm still just a
Okay. In the video, Corgan still has hair. However, when it was released, he had cut all of his hair off. Ever since, Billy has been bald. Bullshit. that makes it sound like it was a choice, and I think he saw the writing on the wall.
Well, that's what it must have been.
Yeah, it has to be.
He's
been bald ever since.
I mean, he wasn't Caillou, you know, but...
Yeah, that's a great song. Damn, you picked bangers here.
Still cool, and that's a great drum song.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think I don't know if it was true of this album, but at least on Gish, he recorded all the guitar and bass parts himself, which is pretty wild.
That is pretty wild. It's too bad we couldn't get our rats in a cage. It'd be whole place, but so we live in there.
They certainly had rage. I'll do that.
As
lame as like some Billy Corgan stuff is, I still think that's cool.
No, it is.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's the thing that makes this and why people are like, why could you talk about it? A lot of the old music is great.
Yeah.
It's just
that
the newer stuff. I watched his Instagram today, and a lot of it it's so corny, the new music.
You know what's so funny about him is that he, like, a lot of his, like, when you see him in interviews and stuff, he's talking about how bad social media is and everything. But his two interests are wrestling and cats. And that's all anyone fucking talks about on social media.
Yeah, that's the most social media shit of all time. He got Twitter for the cats.
Yeah.
And Instagram, I guess.
And
Facebook,
he also, like,
wrestling.
Threatened Courtney Love on Twitter. So he's a reply guy on top of that. Like, he's extremely
Yeah, he
online.
Accused her of, like, stealing all of it. Like, he, or that he wrote all of her music or
he
whatever.
He wrote that
or,
whole album, Live Through
like,
This, yeah.
Yeah, and she said that was
did,
not
did
true.
Did he really claim that? That's fucking
yes.
crazy. And he also said, like, she was living off of Kurt Cobain's money. And,
Damn.
Like, lost her kid and it was her fault.
Oh, shit.
He went deep. And he was also using the letter U instead of the word U in all the tweets.
He Usher.
Yeah, that was. And then he got in a feud with Anderson Cooper. That was a big one. Because,
yes.
Yeah.
And why did he do? Oh, because Cooper made fun of him.
Cooper made fun of him for being, because he was famously on like a cover of like Paws magazine, like a cat magazine. And Cooper made fun of him, and then he was like, "You're a globalist, chill," and like had no sense of humor about it.
Cats are cool.
He has a cafe in Highland Park in Illinois, one of the suburbs, and I remember getting an email once. I was on their email list just because I was like obsessed with the fact that Billy Corgan had this like cafe and mm-hmm. like a tea place, and they were having a Christmas party, and Billy Corgan was going to be the DJ for the Christmas party, and it said with DJ Santa Billy. It's like the amount of effort put in.
Santa Billy. That is great. I just found the thing with that you were saying about him saying you saw somebody who transformed. Was that on Stern?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. Because somebody wrote, like, he claimed on Reddit, somebody was talking about that he said he saw lizard people, but I guess that's what
he was
talking
about. Well,
they
acknowledged it.
They stuck their tongue out for a second. Let's see here. This was on a thread that was kind of popular about why people hate Billy Corgan, and he's one of the reasons was he's publicly blamed his own fans to their faces in person for not supporting him in his solo projects more, which is such a bad look.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
Have you seen him live? Have you seen Smashing Pumpkins?
I haven't seen a lot of live concerts, to be honest, but I have not seen Smashing Pumpkins live, but I did hear that...
Well, that's service as a 6'7 man. Right, you're helping us a lot.
Yeah, so many people would hate me, but he was like bringing hecklers on stage, I think.
So one of the shows I went to, I've seen Smashing Pumpkins twice. One time, one of the worst shows I've ever seen, one time one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Yeah. Interesting.
The one that was the worst was in Boston. It was around 2010, maybe. It was one of their like earlier comeback tours. And he brought out a guy dressed as Manny Ramirez in a Dodgers jersey right after Manny Ramirez left the Red Sox for the Dodgers to just heckle the crowd. And it just ruined the entire night.
One guy on stage to heckle the crowd?
To like roast everyone, like just roast Boston and like Red Sox fans. Because
if there's one thing Boston needs, it's a reason to get pissed off.
At a black person. And, I just remember it being such a bad vibe. And like the set was really bad. And they put all the popular songs in a medley and just rushed through.
Oh, I hate that.
Like every song you wanted to hear, they just put in a medley.
I would rather not hear it than hear the medley.
That's really like a fuck you.
Yeah,
it was. Like totally, and then
I saw
maybe 2 or 3 years ago at the Beacon, and it was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Really,
an incredible. Liz Phair opened. Which
I wouldn't
was great.
Think they would be in that order. I would think like you'd see the better one
totally.
Earlier.
And it was run. Right after David Bowie died, and he played Space Oddity solo acoustic, and it was awesome. Yeah,
wow.
Just say it's Boston.
I guess apparently he just hates Boston.
I respect the hell out of that as a Yankee fan. That's very cool. He's like, okay, you're gonna listen to my jazz fusion album right now. Nothing you could do about it.
I'll never get over Blinking with Fists.
He has an album, one of the later albums is called Monuments of an Elegy,
mm-hmm.
which is
nonsense.
There's always those people who are like, well, if you actually listen to those, that 2014 Smashing Pumpkins, no, it's...
yeah,
yeah.
If you listen to it in the Fibonacci sequence, it all sends a message.
Fibonacci's my favorite clown.
But Doctor,
right? Listen to the first song twice, then the second one, then the third one.
Let's go to Facebook. We kind of have to wrap up kind of soon.
Do you want to play some songs under? Or?
Yeah, let's play some songs under the Facebook.
Under the Facebook.
Let's hear Share of Rock.
Hell yeah.
I'll start it.
One of my faves. They're all these, all six.
Yeah, you picked all these, man. Oh, I like this one.
I love that guitar part.
Yeah, that's great. So, friend of the show and former guest, right? Bobby Condon.
He did Randy Newman.
Yes.
He said he loves any guy who sings the N-word. I remember him saying that.
He wrote, in high school, I got to break the news that they broke up to Rachel Potter, who was their biggest fan, and I took a real perverse pleasure in it that I still feel weird about.
Says more about him than the band.
Tommy McNamara writes, Bobby's broke-ass family couldn't afford Harry Potter, so he had to read Rachel Potter.
And that's not going to love that.
I didn't see it. They got 2 likes. That's pretty good for the thread.
My other comic got 23 likes.
Oh, it did? Yeah. I didn't see the other one. I'll find it. Anyway, oh yeah, here it is. Despite all my rage, I'm still reading Tom's Facebook page. That's good. Well, here's the reason. That was you commenting and not replying to Bobby. This is the problem. Bobby is a like hole, a like vacuum of sorts. Alex Price writes, 1979 is one of the best songs of the 90s. Tommy McNamara writes.
Let me clarify this one. He edited his based on my roast.
Oh, I hate that.
So he wrote...
What a shitty movie. I know. Alex, come on, man.
He wrote 1979 is one of the best songs of the decade. And I wrote, did you not realize it's not the 90s?
Now I understand.
And then he edited it to say
the 90s.
Because
I was confused. I thought you were like referencing a song or something.
Nope.
This is the problem. Alex, you got to let yourself
be
right.
Loss.
You got to wear it. You got to hold that L, as the kids say. Hold it. Lift it up. Get some muscle from the holding that L.
Yeah.
Let's see. Greg Ormey writes, everything up to Adore is perfect, but Billy Corgan is a loon. Yep. Let's see. We got Bobby's ass. Pretty good. That one's stupid.
Did anyone mention Billy Corgan's like dating resume?
Tila Tequila.
Tila Tequila
is pretty crazy. Made her a Nazi.
You think he's the one who changed her? Because she was already a flat earther.
There
was
an article about it. I think flat earth came later. She was doing all the Nazi stuff years
before. So that was when she got smart again.
Crush would be too innocent of a word for what I thought I had about Tila. I wasn't obsessed with Tila Tequila for a couple years.
We all had our Tila Tequila.
Oh, yeah.
That sex tape came out.
She was like, we didn't know that she was 4'7". And we were all like, she's the highest.
I liked it more when I found out she was 4'7".
He dated Jessica Simpson.
Yes.
Billy Corgan. That is nuts.
Wait, what?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
She went from Romo to Corgan?
I don't know if that's the order.
I think Corgan hit it first.
Corgan must
have Rageator. He did it first.
That has to be the weirdest pair of Eskimo brothers that exists.
Me and Romo might have been friends.
And here I'm arguing over which one she gave head to first.
Oh, shit. Double song. Joe Kilgallen writes, Siamese Dream is near perfect in Corgan, an underrated songwriter. Chicago man. Graham
That's
Fahey
true.
Replied.
I mean, it is the problem with him kind of becoming a punchline later is that these songs are so good.
Oh, yeah.
They all hold
up.
You could never live up to like this, you know, discography in your early career.
That's the problem with the 90s people who didn't die.
He's like a comedian.
All right, let's
Kurt Cobain would be like on The Voice now.
Dude, I think about that shit all the time.
Yeah.
I really do think that
Hendrix
Cobain would have taken a bad turn. Yeah, everybody will. Like,
if you're in the public eye that long, something happens.
Biggie would have had a lame album or something.
For sure. Yeah. All right, let's hear Drown.
So smooth. That bass line's beautiful.
John Wilkins writes, Billy's face keeps getting weirder at an incredible rate.
Whatever like chord shape and effects they're putting on the guitar, like that, it just, it really nails like a very, it just strikes a nerve. I was thinking about this because I was listening with I was listening to some Big Thief song recently that really had the same effect for me. It was like
Shark Smile.
Yes,
this is very Shark Smile.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's it.
Shark Smile rules.
You really
way.
Feel it. It's like
that's maybe the best Big Thief song. If you've never listened to Big Thief and are intrigued, they just put out a great album.
Jake Waters writes, their later stuff is better than people give it credit for. Oceana is a good album.
Sorry for making fun of you.
sorry, Jacob. Zachary Boyce writes, that song Doomsday Clock they did for the first Transformers was lit AF. Also, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness was the soundtrack to my first real heartbreak. I think a lot of us have that.
Wait, can I just say, I just figured it out. He saw Transformers and thought it was a shapeshifter. That's self.
Wait, you were just a car.
Look, I met this dude Bumblebee, and
I said something's up about this guy. I don't know. But yeah, Melancholy is definitely the soundtrack to your first real heartbreak, or just being a lonely boy in your room.
I think being a lonely boy. I was being a little incel when you're.
That's what it was like. Yeah, whatever. These were some of my sad boy anthems that he was cranking out back in the day.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Disarm. I used to be a little boy.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Weren't we all?
Alex Fasella writes, my college band played Cherub Rock and I insisted on playing harmonica, and honestly, it sounded rad. Well, that sounds like a brag there, Alex.
Agree to disagree without hearing it.
That's going to be in the ear of the beholder.
Sorry, Fasella, you got roasted. Andrew Durso, very funny, man.
Love Durso.
I've been seeing a bunch of his stuff lately. He's super funny. His Twitter is fucking great. Follow Andrew Durso.
Future
on
guest?
Ooh, no.
You banned.
You burned. You banned.
Stand by because you're banned.
No, we could have the man on. Andrew Durso, Billy Corgan kind of embodies the 92 music ethos where it's like anyone can be a rock star. People like Axl Rose are so corny, and now Billy Corgan's going on InfoWars and shit, and it's like, hey, maybe we were too hard on Axl Rose.
That's what I was thinking before. I was trying to think about who hates Smashing Pumpkins, and it's just people who hate the whole grunge scene, like the hair metal fans, the like 50-year-old guys at your gym who wear, you know, denim.
And it's also so earnest that, like, you could see how fans of, like, Pavement would hate it, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's very hard on your
sleeve. Yeah, I like Pavement a lot, too. But, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Noah Savage writes, according to Anthony Kiedis' book, Scar Tissue, Billy Corgan is an excellent basketball player and started training a bunch of three-pointers when they were shooting around before a stadium show or festival they were both on. Surprised he didn't add that to the Wikipedia. But still could drain threes all day. There was
if the Warriors need a point guard, now the Steph's hurt.
And they do.
Noah Savage truly knows every basketball stat.
I gotta say, I'm sure I talked about it on the Chili Peppers episode, but that Scar Tissue book is full of good shit.
Yeah.
I never read it.
I've heard it's like harrowing.
It's great. I want to read it again because I read it when I was like 19, so I could be and I was a super Red Hot Chili Peppers fan, so I might have read it kind of like as a dumbass. So
it's got full paragraphs. It's like flick a bling a bling a ding a ding. Just nonsense.
This chapter is like, called California.
California.
No, he for sure. I'm sure there is a chapter called California.
Let's pretend to pound a California. That's a chapter.
Dean Mazzello writes, I played high school football.
Nice.
That's it.
I think he might have CTEs.
He comments that on every band.
The rest of the comments, and they got to stop giving out the participation trophies. I forgot what I was talking about.
I played high school football. I recall a hilarious moment the week of Halloween. Ooh, spooky. While we were stretching for practice one evening, two seniors were overheard discussing Smashing Pumpkins. The head coach heard this and shouted, if I hear about any of you Smashing Pumpkins this week, you won't be suiting up for Friday. No Smashing Pumpkins.
If I hear any of you playing sound in my garden, I swear to God.
Get that radio out of your head and get in the game. But, coach, I'm the quarterback. I need it.
Oh, shit. That's great. Sorry. I think that's probably enough Facebook, and I think that is the end of our playlist.
Did we get every song in the playlist?
I believe we did. Let me double check here. Bullet with a Butterfly, Sherb Rock, 79, I shortened it, save time. Zero, Perfect, and Drown. Yeah, that's all of them.
Wow. The McDade six-pack.
Great playlist.
Coming up at the top of the hour.
What a playlist. I had a great time with this one.
JP, final thoughts. You get uninterrupted time. We will not say any riffs. Say whatever you want.
No, that's too much power to give me. I'm just going to bow out gracefully.
No one man should have all this power. I'm just
you're immediately
Kanye.
Just riff.
All right, do the Bernie Mac Sanders.
Yeah. Oh fuck! I almost started the show with that.
Oh, just bust in. It is I did realize that the best way to start any comedy set is just going, I ain't scared of you, motherfuckers.
It's so good.
I'm gonna tell you something straight off the motherfucking press.
Look at JP's Twitter. It's so funny.
Yes, JP's hilarious. One of the few roast battlers that I think is great. No, he's super funny and a great stand up. And check out his Instagram. Check out you're on YouTube and stuff too. Right,
yeah,
like you put all that show. His YouTube is very good. Tommy, what do you got?
Used to be a little boy.
So for this playlist, I six out of six. Smashing Pumpkins are one of my favorite bands of all time, and I like making fun of Billy Corgan, but they'll always be one of my favorite bands of all time. And it would have been very hard for you to make a playlist that wasn't a 6 out of 6.
Yeah, for
this.
Sure. Same here. I mean, it's like this was what we may do in the future. I think if we do, I think we could do another Smashing Pumpkins episode of all post Adore albums.
And there's some great songs on Machina.
I think I'd like to see a playlist like that to see if that dude said Oceana holds up. I want to see if that shit does. This was fun because it's fun to talk about Corgan and he's a true Looney Tune. But the music is undeniable. It's so good, and I had a great time listening to it. 6 out of 6, baby.
Hell yeah.
Thanks so much for coming on, buddy.
Thank you for having
me. Is there anything else you want to promote besides the videos?
Just follow me on the tweets, at JP_McDade. I love you very much.
You're the best.
All right. I will be at the Punchline in Atlanta this weekend.
Woo, shit.
Yeah, with Joe Zimmerman.
That's so fun.
Yeah. Thursday to Sunday.
Hell yeah.
Six shows. So, yeah, come out to one of those.
That's so sick.
My first time ever in the city of Atlanta.
Oh, my God. You got to go
have some food
while you're there. Oh, really? You're going to want to eat, Tommy. You have this problem. You go on the road. No, there's a place that's slipping by. I think it's called Homegrown. There's a great spot over there.
Losing weight for a role. A feature act.
I've been losing weight for a roll. I just really want to eat a roll. And there's so many calories in them. Check out Tommy there. And again, come to the live show. We're going to do another one in New York soon, too. But yeah, Chicago the day before Thanksgiving, Bloomington the day after Thanksgiving, and the day after that, the weekend. Just we're going to be Thanksgiving boys. You know, skip the turkey.
We're thanking.
Yeah, be thankful. For us, I think we're going to be in Cincinnati too. We're looking for dates right now. But check out my half
Tom
hour.
And Tom
it should be
need
up
dates.
Now.
That's my favorite movie.
Tom and Tommy need podcast dates. Check out the half hour. It's up by now, and you know it went great. Yeah. I'm proud of it. So show it
so
to people.
So good. Yeah, let me be a second.
My man.
It's very very
Thank
good.
You, buddy.
Check it out.
Yeah, so check that out, and then I'll be at the Velveeta Room in Austin, Texas, the first weekend of December, and I'll be in San Francisco coming up soon at the Punchline there, and Go Bananas in Cincinnati coming up too. That one's a few months away. Just check out the website, TomTikar.com, and guys, thanks for listening. Keep it crispy. Check out the Patreon. Bye.